Good morning, everybody. The Lord is in this place. Amen?
Amen.
Because we brought him with what? With us. The Holy Spirit of the living God lives in us. So when we show up, he shows up. Amen?
Amen.
Before I go to the Lord in prayer, I want to let you know something. And I started sensing it 2 or 3 days ago. And as I was sitting back there this morning, it's confirmed. Folks, you're under demonic attack. This ministry is under demonic attack. Let me tell you why. Whenever you see families start fighting against each other, that's Satan. Trying to break up the union that Father has established through his son Jesus here. Lord Jesus has planted his feet here. This ministry belonged to him. There are some incidents that occurred that just absolutely broke his heart. And so I want to tell you all that God is loving, God is merciful, God is gracious, God is kind. And he wanted us to tell you all that his mercy endures forever. But we have to be fair to him. We got to give him back what he's given us. Kindness, goodness, love, humility. All these things belong to the Father and to his son, Jesus Christ. From now on out, if we're going to be at prayer, have choir or praise team, we need to be here. It's not fair to him. And that's for everybody involved. It's not fair to him when we don't show up and do our part. Because when he comes in here on Sunday mornings, he expects to hear his children singing to him. Okay? His adult children. And equally, throughout the week, he expects his children to get along with one another. There's been a lot of fighting among us these past few days. We need to stop it. Because the Holy Spirit got plans. If I show some of you a message that came from God just a couple of days ago, you would freak out. And the deacons, I am going to show them. God got huge plans for you. Are y'all hearing me? From the youngest, and he did. He sent word to me. From the youngest to the eldest, God has plans for you. Right here. Jesus is about to do a work here, a work that you have never seen done before. And people are going to come because of the anointing of Jesus Christ in this place. That's what's going to draw them. Not my preaching, not your singing, but the anointing of God himself. That's what's going to bring people in. But you're going to carry that anointing. And I was told by the Holy Spirit to tell you that God has placed that mantle on you all, the anointing of Christ. And that you're to carry that mantle. Anybody here know what a mantle is? A mantle is like a shawl that you put on someone, or a blanket. Okay? The Holy Spirit has that mantle. And God has instructed him to place that mantle on you all. And he has told me to nurture and protect that mantle in you. That's why, if y'all had noticed, I've been trying to stay a little distance because the Spirit was speaking to me in a deep, profound way. And I didn't want too many distractions. And there's another thing, too, that you all are going to have to start allowing me time away from you. I need a place where I can get alone with the Lord for whatever amount of time it is. Because God is moving huge in the earth. And He has chosen you to be a part of that movement. Lord Jesus has chosen Emma. He has chosen Zora. He's chosen Matthew, Skylar, Miss Marie, Mike, all of you. Miss Vicky, all the deacons, all you musicians, all of you that come here. The Lord has chosen you. And you're going to make a difference in people's lives. You're going to operate in what we call the supernatural power of God. I didn't want to tell you all, but I want to tell you this testimony, and we're going to go before the Lord. Friday, when I was walking into Winn-Dixie to get the hot dog buns for Shelly, a guy came walking in like this. And he started to tell me his foot got crushed. And he had so much pain in his body. And I was carrying those water jugs, and I went and got a basket, and I wasn't thinking anything about it. But the Spirit all of a sudden come upon me and said, go pray for him. Anybody ever not want to do the Lord's work at a particular moment? Anybody ever been like that? Go, nah, I don't want to do that right now, Lord. But you know what? The Holy Spirit would not leave me alone. And I said, okay, I'll go do it. So I walked quickly because I seen the direction he was walking. He wasn't going there fast. So I walked up very quickly and I approached him. I said, sir, can I pray for you? And his response was, you can pray for me anytime. I said, no, sir. I would like to pray for you right now, right here in Winn-Dixie. He said, okay. He pulled off his hat. And as I began to pray, I had my hand on his back. You know what I felt in his back? I felt a knot in his back about this big next to his spine. And as I was praying, I said, this is what's causing your problem, isn't it? He pulled up his shirt and showed me the scars from his surgery. He said, my back was broken there. And you know what, folks? Are y'all ready for the next part? Are y'all ready? I touched his back again in that spot. Guess wasn't there. Guess what wasn't there? That lump, that knot. And I didn't tell him. Maybe I should have. But I walked away, and you know how the scriptures say whenever Mary heard something about Jesus, the scriptures say she pondered those things in her heart. I pondered those things in my heart as I walked away. And then when I got back here, I got an email. And I'm not going to give you everything that's in that email, but you two are going to get it. What had just happened in Winn-Dixie, it was confirmed in that email. And all I could do as I was reading that email, and bless this little CJ kept wanting to talk to me, and he and I got a wonderful little relationship going now, my buddy, right? And you know what? I tried to hold back the tears because God was moving. God was answering prayer. And folks, you have been hand chosen by God for a work. And the enemy doesn't want this work to go forward. So what he does is that he's trying to destroy and cause confusion and turmoil in the ranks among us. You against him, him against you, me against my wife, you against other peers, and you name it. And next thing you know, there's chaos. And we all know that the Holy Spirit can't work in chaos. Amen? Amen. He cannot work in chaos. So let me encourage you. Let's start taking our eyes off each other and our faults and our weaknesses, because God knows them all, and fix our eyes back on him. I'm the leader, and God's going to hold me responsible. I have to do this thing first. And when I got home yesterday, you know, I made sure that I wasn't the nucleus of confusion. Okay? God's going to move in these young men powerfully. They don't know it, but God got something in store for these guys. For you young ladies, look at me. Lord Jesus Christ got something for you. You may not understand it right now, but God, let me tell you something. God got a work that's coming for you that is going to blow your mind. And these babies, God said, he are growing them up because he's raising a generation up that's going to work in what he called the supernatural. Folks, that's powerful. What we're about to see today in the scriptures is huge. We're about to enter into a realm of celebration that's out of this world. It's huge. The Holy Spirit had me spend hours in this one. Literally hours. And I see it. I see it. So every head bow. Things are going to be a little bit different this morning, and that's okay. Because God's in control. Amen? He loves you. Lord Jesus Christ loves you. It's not a beating up time. This is encouragement time, okay? Father, we come to you now. In the blessed name of your Son, Jesus. Lord, the world doesn't know what's headed this way. But you know. And you've commissioned us, your children, to take the mantle of your anointing forward, to live as the first apostles live, under the direct guidance of the Holy Spirit. And Lord Jesus, our desire is for men, women, and boys and girls to see you face to face in us. And when you speak, you're speaking through us to them. And when you work, you're working directly through us to them. And we want them to see you and Father and glorify your name, because worthy is the Lamb who sits upon the throne. And Lord, forgive us in our human weaknesses. Lord, because it's never ever about us, it's all about you. Bless your children now, Lord. Bring them to the level of understanding. Fill them with your wisdom and knowledge in the name of Jesus. And Holy Spirit, touch every heart now, every soul, everybody. Touch them now. Refresh their spirits in you. Strengthen them and bring them into that sacred place. That place where only God dwells. And Lord Jesus, you're the doorway to the sacredness of God. We call it the holiness of God. Will you now allow us to enter into the secret place of the Most High, so that we can abide under the shadow of the Almighty? Help us, Lord. Watch over Israel. Bring your people to the place where they need to be. Bring them to repentance. Bring them to salvation. Help them to know, Lord Jesus, according to your holy word, that you are the Messiah that they've been waiting for all their lives, and let them embrace you. Allow your peace to abide in Jerusalem. And Father, for these United States and the rest of the world, bring repentance. Do revival, Lord. And we're praying that you bring revival only by your grace and not by your wrath. Have mercy upon us, O God, according to your tender mercy. Block out our transgressions. Have your way this morning. Yes, Lord. Thank you. The cross is the mercy of God. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for revealing that. Bless your holy name, Lord. Have your way now as we begin your time of worship and praise. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay. A little bit different this morning. A little bit different. I'm not going to do any announcements. We're going to do something extraordinary. We're going to have old-time church today. Is that all right? Yeah. Amen? Open up your Bibles, please, to the book of Revelation. We're going directly to the Word this morning. Thank you, Miss Vicky. Like always, you are anointed cherubim of God upon that piano and that organ. Folks, I want to tell you that what's happening in today's time in 2015 is just a prelude of what yet to what come. And I want you to understand that you need to know who you are in Christ Jesus. I need to remind you that the church of John's day, when this blessed book was written, the book of Revelation, was undergoing the greatest persecution known to mankind. Rome had an all-out assault against the church. And the emperor's desire was to wipe out this thing called Christianity. And the church had gone underground and was operating. And at this moment, its main leader, John himself, is an old man cast out on the island of Patmos, a penal colony, to quieten the word of God. All the other apostles are dead. And they died horrific deaths. And this man, can you get the AC quickly? And this man out there with thousands of followers, he had thousands of disciples of Jesus Christ of his day. Remember now, there was no internet to get the word out. There were no cell phones and no radios or television or satellites, of no such thing, no modern day transportation where they can drive 100 miles in one day. It would take them 2 or 3 weeks to get there. Okay? But nevertheless, while they were being beat down and trodden on by Rome, the Lord Jesus Christ from heaven was watching. And folks, if you understand the scriptures, it's kind of like what was happening in Egypt with Israel when they was in slavery for 400 years. Who was watching during the entire 400-year period of slavery for Israel? God was. Because we see it in Exodus chapter 3 when he told Moses, when he called him at the burning bush, when he told Moses, he said, I have heard my people cry by the reasons of who the taskmasters. So I've been listening. For 400 years, God had been listening. Isn't that amazing? And now he was about to send a deliverer. Equally on the opposite ends of the spectrum, the book of Revelation, the church, Christ's bride, is under attack. And we don't know up to this point how many years it's been, but it's been a few years. And the church is hurting. If you think things are bad now, you should have been back there during '96, when they was really being skitting alive for being Christians. But who was watching? Who was listening to all of this? God was, and particularly the Lord Jesus Christ. And who shows up in a big way? Jesus shows up. Huge. Okay? What we're seeing in chapter 18 is an understanding that the world government in the future, which haven't happened yet, but it's on the way. It's being birthed right now. The one world government, the one world religion is being birthed right now. And what's going to happen is that everything as you know it is going to be gone. It's going to crumble. Every way that you knew about operating in government, about operating as a citizen, it's going away. And you know those freedoms that you have called freedom of speech, freedom of religion? Gone away. Okay? And only a privileged few is going to have access to those liberties. And we see them in the scriptures. Okay? The national leaders and the rich folks. All right? And they're going to pull into this well of deceit, this world of manipulation, this world of false religion. They're going to see, you and I are going to see, how people are going to be pulled into it, even the church. You know what you're talking about? You remember we got to the portion in Revelation 18 when Lord Jesus Christ sent a stern warning in verse 4. And John said, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people. That's the church. Why? Because we have been suckered in. Closer and closer. The church is changing and reforming and reshaping itself to meet cultural needs and to be like culture. Okay? And it's changing its doctrine to meet cultural needs and changing positions to meet cultural need. Changing the way they preach and teach to meet what? Cultural needs. And you see this big old machine called political correctness, changing the image of the incorruptible God into something corruptible. And people now want to hear things that tickle their ears. They don't want to hear sound doctrine. They don't want to hear the truth. They don't want you to tell them that you cannot cohabitate. Get married because the Bible calls it fornication or sexual immorality. They don't want to hear that two men ain't supposed to be kissing in public while a seven-year-old boy is watching. They don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear that two women supposed to be married can't adopt a child because that goes against the natural order of God for mankind. They don't want to hear that. But what they do want to hear, they want to hear pastors tell them it's okay. God loves everybody. And under that sky, a lot of people are going to bust hell wide open because they've been tricked into believing that God loves everybody. Let me tell you something. The Bible tells you and I that God is angry with the sinner every day. Why do you think you told the prophet Isaiah in chapter 59 in verse 2, it says that hit your sins, your iniquity, your transgressions has separated you from your God. But doesn't sound like to me that God is happy. Does that sound like to you that God is happy? And that's what this one world system had done. It had created a religion that where everything goes and that everybody is loved by God, but it's not the God of the Bible. Amen. They have created their own image of God and turned him to something corruptible. And we see it happening right now. I was talking to a brother that I baptized a few years ago, left a prominent church in town. He said, "Brother, I wish I could tell you everything, but I don't want to scandalize him." I said, "Look, I understand. I understand." He said, "But it ain't the same." Why? I said, "You know what? People get what they ask for. If you don't want a godly man preaching, you don't hire him." Amen? Amen. You don't want a man filled with the Holy Ghost that's going to tell you the truth, then tell you, "Thus said the Lord God," you don't hire him. But if you want a man that's going to tell you that your sins is okay because God loves you, then you hire him. And when you do, you get what you heard. Babylon the whore. Somebody said, "You can't talk like that. Children are present." That's God's word. It means I can't talk like that. Now, I'm not going to change the word of the Bible. And neither are you around me. Because that's exactly what God called them. This one world system, this system involves economic and finance and sociabilities and has all the tiers of what you can do and what you can't do, okay, is about to have a big fall, okay? It's getting ready to be a big crumbling.
Yes, there is.
Do you understand me? And so God sends the last word out to the church. In verse 4 there. And see, let me tell y'all something right now. We're not there in that at that point yet where this system is in place, but it's in the making. So you are really living in God's grace right now. Where you can run away right now when you begin to see remnants of false teachings against Christ. When the gospel being twisted and turned to meet people's needs, okay? You have enough of the Holy Spirit in you now to run away and not be a part of it. You can help other people. Your job right now is to rescue people from the lies of Satan. Your job is to tell your classmates the truth. Every one of you babies here, you quote scripture perfectly from the Holy Spirit. This man tells them about Jesus in the parking lot of his job. You tell him about it all the time, Miss Marie. You talk to a fence post about Jesus too. And so, the issue here is that times are changing. And it's going to get to the point that Babylon the whore is going to be real in the world. The question right now, how do you live with it? What the Supreme Court did 3 weeks ago is the first indication that Babylon is being birthed. Oh. Yes, come on, somebody. Give God some glory. Give Jesus some glory. That Babylon is being birthed. Okay? How do you live? Anybody ever heard of Rabbi Zachariah? He's a brother in Christ, so I mentioned him. He's not a rabbi, but Rabbi Zachariah is one of the people that defend the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. One of the most brilliant minds in the world. His question the other night to you and I, and his statement is this. You cannot reverse the Supreme Court order. It's in place. It's here to stay. Because we didn't make our voice known. His voice has been made known. And now, here's what you have to do now. Regardless of what branch of government that's been involved, they're not going to rescind what the Supreme Court brought forth. What do you do as Christians now? How do you live with it? That's the big question. How does a 20-year-old man that's working among gays and among adulterers and thieves and robbers or any other sinner, how does a 20-year-old Christian man live among them? He lives in the truth of God's word. He doesn't change himself so that he can stay friends with them. How does a 16-year-old, I think you're 16, Christian, I don't know. How does a 16-year-old young teenage man live among his peers who's telling him to do this and do that? He live on the principles of God's truth. In Psalms 119, it says, how can a young man cleanse his way? And it says, by taking heed to thy word. In other words, continually to obey the word of God. Okay? Now, we have to move forward. And we have to be steadfast, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that our labor is not in vain. We cannot change who we are. We must be steadfast. We must be rooted and grounded. We must continue to teach these babies this truth, because the day is coming where all curriculums in schools are going to change to meet the needs of this perverted society.
Amen. They are.
But you must teach the children.
Yes.
Belinda must teach the children to stand on God's word. When you get them home, mama and daddy, you must teach them to stand on God's word. And grandfathers, when you sit your babies down, you must reinforce what they have been taught, telling them over and over again, this is the word of God. Jesus Christ is the only Savior of man. And this is what God said you're to do and what you're not to do. And we're to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength. And we cannot waver in it.
That's right. Amen.
We must go on. And so you must listen to the voice of the Holy Ghost and be prepared to be attacked for it. And when the enemy cometh against you like a flood, you need to know that God himself will take up a standard against them. If he fire you on the job, you got brothers and sisters who are willing to give you food and give you money to help you out until God bless you with another job. Why? Because you're standing on the things of God and not the things of man.
Amen.
And that's what it's going to take. Babylon the whore is real. It has begun. But God got some people who are willing to stand on righteousness, who are willing to stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why it's important for you to get Romans 1:16 into your heart and say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it is the power of God unto salvation. And who is going to begin? Well, the Jews had it first. And now the Gentiles have it. That's you and me. How many of you are ashamed to pray when you walk into a restaurant? If you are, shame on you.
Amen.
Because Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, hung naked on a cross for you and me. Yes, the Western world did not give you a true picture of the cross. They put a loin cloth over him so that they go, oh, you can't expose the Son of God like that. Well, guess what? The Romans did. They stripped him naked. And the letter that Paul wrote to the Colossian church, he said that Jesus despised the shame of the cross, and he made an open spectacle of them. Other words, through the Spirit, by the Spirit, Jesus dragged the forces of hell down the corridors of God, through the hallways of heaven, and made an open shame of them in the presence of God himself. And that's what we got to stand on. If it was good enough for Jesus, it got to be good enough for us. Folks, what you're seeing in Revelation 18 is a replica of what's yet to come, and it's being birthed right in front of you. Don't be mocked, okay? Because God is not mocked. Are you hearing me? Allow the Holy Spirit to open your young eyes, open your old eyes. And yes, the Holy Ghost can teach an old dog a new trick. Amen. Get in the Word of God and watch Him change you. Times are tough now. And God said to His people, come out from among her. That's the church. Tell your friends. Tell your loved ones. Tell your family members and your work associates that are going to these places called churches where the gospel is not being preached. Tell them to get out and get out now. Because they're going to get suckered in. And once they get rooted and grounded in a false doctrine, it's going to be very difficult to get it out of them. Are y'all hearing me? It's a stronghold, people. Yes. It's demonic, and it's idolatry. It goes against the very word of the living God. And you have a responsibility from the Holy Spirit, said the Lord, to go and warn your brothers and sisters. Tell them to come out from among them. If you don't believe me, read the third chapter of Ezekiel and read the 33rd chapter of Ezekiel. Both of those chapters will tell you and I that we have a responsibility to warn righteous people to come out of that mess. Amen. Because as long as they are there, they're sinning against the living God because they are tolerating what we call a false doctrine. You're going, well, I'm not the one preaching the sermon. Oh, but you're condoning it by sitting there listening to it. And if you don't think it's working on your conscience, then stay there and continue to hear that garbage. And after a while, you're going to be shaped into it. And then you're going to start behaving just like those around you. Instead of pleasing God, you're going to make God sick. Read Revelation chapter 3 where Jesus said, you're neither hot nor what? Cold. And because you're neither hot or cold, I'm going to do what? He said, vomit. That means you make his stomach upset. And he's going to vomit you out of his mouth. That's pretty bad, and it's pretty graphic, too. But it's the truth. It's the truth. So God is tired of this. It's time to live for Jesus. My job is to prepare you now. I'm not going to lie to you about the gospel or any other thing. I'm going to tell you the truth. Because Jesus said the truth shall do what with you? Set you free. And it says in that same context, who the Son set free is free what? Free indeed. Okay? You want to know why so many Christians are still in bondage? Because they're not walking in the truth. They're not living in the truth. Okay? You love Jesus, it's now the time to show him that you love him. Be on time for choir rehearsal. Be on time for Bible study. Be on time for church and other things of God. Show Jesus that you mean business with him. Show him that your relationship is real. Because the world is showing you that their relationship is real. People are being destroyed every day. Are you hearing me? People are being destroyed every day. And if you don't give into this world system, it will go after you and destroy you. Satan doesn't care anything about you. But as long as you're partaking in his evil ways and his wickedness, you're buddy-buddy. Everything's fine. Am I right? Come on, somebody. Say amen to the Lord. Amen. When things are going right according to their eyes, you're their best friend. But the moment you turn against them, what do you think they're going to do to you? They're going to turn against you. And then they'll show their true colors, because that's the way the enemy is. Y'all know the story about the frog and the scorpion going across the pond? Everybody know that one? The scorpion wanted, both of them wanted to get to the other side. The frog said, I give you a ride on my back, but you'll sting me. And you sting me, we're both going to drown. Scorpion said, I promise you I won't. He said, okay, get on. And they got in the middle of the lake. What do you think the scorpion did? He popped him. Bam! And the frog began to get sick and die. And he asked him, he said, why'd you do it? Scorpion said, I can't help it because that's who I am. You live with sinners, you're going to get sin results. Why? Because they can't help it. That's who they are. Now, if sinners can produce results from their lifestyle, why can't God's children produce results from our lifestyle in Jesus? We can. So why can't you produce more Christians? Why can't you produce godly ways and godly behavior? You can. Because the difference between you and them is that you got the Holy Spirit living in you. Okay? And he can help you. I'm coming back up front so y'all can see my bald head. Now, so here they are. Revelation chapter 18, the first half of it. Ugly situation. Ugly. But yet, the most powerful force on earth, the greatest authority on earth in their eyes is Babylon. She's able to get powerful men to do what she wants. National leaders, and some are women. Yeah. We're not going to leave out the women. Okay? They're going to be able to persuade them to do what she wants. And rich people are going to be flocking to her. Young people, all going to run into this system, this place, and going to be partaking of it. And you know what? Boy, it's really look good for Christians. And you know what? Going to flock to them. Now, all Christians in there may not be that way, because some are going to be those people who got saved while in the system. Are y'all hearing me? They hear the gospel, and the Lord Jesus Christ is going to save them. And he is giving them a warning also. Come out. Come out of her. Okay? He's going to tell them, come out. And you got to be willing, Shelly, to lose everything. If you love Jesus that much, you got to be willing, Maurice, to give up all that bling bling you got and all them nice clothes you got, and you may have to start wearing rags. Hello, somebody. Instead of driving that nice Dodge truck, you may have to get a horse and cart. Okay? Hey. But come out. I know. Our brother back there that got that 18 wheel, he's got, I don't think I can trade that for a cart. To God be the glory. But here we are now. Let's take a look for our lesson today from the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to turn and look at verse 14, and we're going to go on. Revelation chapter 18. I'm going to read it for you. It says, the fruit that your soul longed for has gone from you. What has happened now is God has now attacked Babylon, this world system, this harlot that's been deceiving, that's been prostituting people and getting them drunk with her wickedness, with her sin. Jesus Christ now has given her a fatal blow. And he's just demonstrated to the world and to heaven that this system that called itself so powerful and in, you know, that could not be destructive, all of a sudden now it's like this. It's fragile. By one word out of the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ, the city crumbles. This worldly system crumbles. And all those who had invested in it has lost everything. Okay? They have lost everything. Let's jump down a little bit further. Look at verse 21. Then a minor angel took up a stone like a great millstone and threw it into the sea, saying, thus with violence the great city Babylon shall be thrown down and shall not be found anymore. The sound of harpists, musicians, flutists, trumpeters shall not be heard in you anymore. No craftsman or any craft shall be found in you anymore. And the sound of a millstone shall not be heard in you anymore. The light of a lamp shall not shine in you anymore. And the voice of the bridegroom and the bride shall not be heard in you anymore. For your merchants were the great men of the earth. You got that? Not weak men, but what kind of men?
Great.
Great men. For by your sorcery all the nations were deceived. Every nation on earth have fallen into this trap of deception. And it, ma'am?
It doesn't say except the United States.
No, the United States is a part of it, probably the leading one.
Yeah.
Okay? But look, no nation is exempt. That means no international, it's no longer international because it's now one, okay, one world. So they're all now partaking of it. And you know what? Watch what this angel does. Watch the hand of God do something. Okay? Watch God move in such a way that it's going to just mess up the mind of the most powerful men on earth. Okay? And so he tells you and I that this angel took a millstone. Okay, a typical millstone weighs about 100 pounds. That's used for grinding wheat. But this millstone is the size of a small city. That's a rock from space that this angel is going to use. Do you know what kind of impact that's going to make? It's literally going to rock this world. Can you imagine seeing something like that coming through the atmosphere? Folks, when God does something, he doesn't hesitate. He doesn't tarry. When he gives you an order to get out, that means swift destruction is coming, and you need to get your hind parts in gear and get the blink out of there, some people like to say. I use the word heck, not cursing. Look up the definition of it. Now, what are you going to do? Are you going to remain idle, or are you going to get moving and do the things of God? What are you going to do? Because God is charging you and I to do something. There's a population of people out there need you. And God has specifically set these people in your path so that you can give them the truth. Every one of you are capable of sharing Christ's love with someone. You hear me? Every last one of you. I watch these babies get grown men out there, and I watch grown men weep because these little ones are praying for them. Okay? You witness it. Every one of us here that come here daily have seen these children pray for people out on that sidewalk. And we watch them weep because the power of Christ come through these babies onto those people. You got that same power, folks. You got that same power. And now, let's go to the end part. Look at verse 24. And in her was found the blood of prophets and saints, and all who were slain on the earth. People, if you think this world care about you, you're sadly mistaken. If you really think the Obama administration care about Christians, no. You got a sad thought in your mind. If you think anybody who doesn't walk with you in Christ truly care about you, you got another thought coming. Because I have seen mothers and fathers who were not in Christ turn against their sons and their daughters who have surrendered their lives to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. I have seen it not once, not twice, I mean countless times. You've seen it. You've been a child, you've been a daughter of God for a long time. You've seen it. I've seen children turn on their parents. I don't want nothing to do with this Jesus stuff. Why are you making me go to church? He ain't my God. And I've seen next door neighbors tell their neighbors, don't come over here with that stuff. You keep it to yourself. If you don't think they won't eat you alive, you better get rooted and grounded in the gospel. But you know what? That's to the extreme side. Because the same people that opposes you and opposing Christ, the Holy Spirit got ways of reaching them. Because the Apostle Paul tell you and I, at one time we opposed God. How many in here were born saved? Not a one of us, right? So at some point, the Lord Jesus Christ had compassion on us. And we heard the gospel, his gospel. Did we not? And at the hearing of that gospel, we surrendered ourselves as this Holy Spirit moved us forward under conviction and let us know that we have sinned against God and that there's a day of reckoning. Okay? Is there not a day of reckoning coming? A day of accountability? The Bible calls it what? Judgment day. Or day of the Lord. That day is coming. Okay? So, Babylon got hers. Now we're getting ready to transition on over to something so wonderful and so powerful right now. On one hand, you're just seeing total destruction, total annihilation of a system that was so corrupt that it literally changed the lives of millions of people around the world. On the dark side, the Prince of Peace is working and going to be working against the Prince of Darkness. On the dark side, the Prince of Darkness is scheming. He got plans. And he, along with his leaders called principalities, are planning to do something that has never been done on the earth before. Because this is their hour. It was their system that the Lord Jesus Christ crashed and burned. Babylon the whore belonged to Satan. And Jesus knocked it out. Not with an intercontinental ballistic missile, but by the word of his mouth. Bam! Mm-hmm. And it came down. That's Jesus. Okay? And now the devil is madder than hell. I can literally say that. And now he's scheming. He's putting together a strategy now. And he's telling those national leaders who belong to him, are y'all hearing me? Those national leaders, read it carefully. These national leaders don't belong to Jesus. They belong to who? Come on. Satan. They belong to Satan. You're now under demonic leadership. If you're in this world at that time, you're under demonic leadership. You're not under the leadership of Jesus Christ. And folks, it is going to be something else. So now he's going to pull his armies together. He's going to have a big meeting with the minds to be. And he's going to tell his generals, prepare for war. Because it's getting ready to be a showdown. Uh-oh, somebody, you're hearing me. He's getting every national leader together. And the beast is going to call them together. And he's going to give them his plan. And the plan is going to be to annihilate Israel and to annihilate every Christian. And this world's army, who once opposed each other, and some were once allies, are now on the same team. Folks, if you read in Revelation chapter 16, you'll find out that the United States is a part of this team that's going to oppose God. Are y'all hearing me? They have now allied internationally with this beast. Are y'all hearing me? Look at the scriptures carefully. It says the nations. Okay? Don't let anybody fool you that the United States, because it wasn't present during the time of the writing of the scripture, God is not dark that he don't know what's going on in the future. Okay? The future looked just like the present tense to God, just like yesterday looked like the present tense to God. Okay? Don't do God like that. So this thing is coming together. And you saints who are here, they know what's going on, because the Holy Spirit is not leaving his children in the dark. And he's talking to them through a prophetic word, saying, get as much harvest as you can. Go out and gather them. Bring them in on the Lord's side. Okay? There's a massive evangelistic wave going on in the earth right now at this time. Okay? The beast is losing people by the thousand to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Okay? Because the children now are empowered by the Holy Ghost, and they're sharing the gospel like they never shared before. And signs and wonders are following them. And it's incredible what's going on at this time. Why? Because the enemy wanted you to fix your eyes on all the things that are wrong, right? Everything that's been done that's wrong. But yet God got your eyes on the Lamb of God. And Jesus got your eyes on the kingdom of God. Okay? That's taking place on earth. And they're watching the will of God being done. And it's unfolding in front of them. And they're watching the once loved ones who told Jesus no are now saying yes to Jesus. And they're watching their friends surrender to Jesus. And their neighbors are surrendering to Jesus. Why? Because God is getting his number. God is getting his number. Okay? And the meanwhile, what's taking place in heaven? What is going on in heaven, everybody? What is going on? There's still smoke on the earth from Babylon being destroyed. What's going on in heaven?
Sing hallelujah.
Uh-oh, there's a massive celebration going on in heaven. Come on, somebody. Take a look. Revelation 19. After these things, I heard a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, Hallelujah. Some Bibles say Hallelujah. That's because it's been a misprint. They didn't look at the Greek accent that gives the H sound. But that's okay. Hallelujah! What does that mean? Praise the Lord. It is the highest praise that a human can give God. And it's taking place throughout heaven right now. Wouldn't you want to be there to see that and participate in it? Huh? And the saints, listen to this. This is how good God is. Look at Jesus. By the spirit that's taking place in heaven, that celebration spirit, that worship spirit that's taking place in heaven, is also taking place on earth in the saints. You know, all the gloom and doom that's around them, yet their hearts are filled with joy. It's filled with hope and the Holy Ghost and peace of God. And people are going forth shouting praises to God. And, you know, they're watching people die, but yet they're still praising God for the things of God. Even though they're hiding in caves, they're still praising God. Even though they just lost their house to the government, they're still praising God. Amen. They haven't lost hope because Jesus said, I'll never leave you or what? Forsake you. And he haven't forsaken his people. And they're praising God. While praise is taking place in heaven, there's praise where? On earth.
We know what's happening.
You know what's happening because this blessed book tells us we're on the winning side. And that our God is God.
Amen.
Come on, somebody. That's enough to get excited about. Yeah. So he said, after these things, I heard a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven. That means a bunch of folks. Salvation and glory and honor and power belong to the Lord our God. Woo! Worship in heaven. Pure worship. The Lord Jesus Christ, he just opened up the window there and allow you and I to see what true worship looks like in heaven. They're having a good time. Okay? And not every moment is the same. As each moment goes by, it gets greater and greater and greater and greater. And it never gets old. And you know what? And God never gets tired of hearing it. Isn't that great? And we should never get tired of giving it to him. Everybody with me say, Hallelujah!
Hallelujah.
Come on, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah! Hallelujah! We should never get tired of praising the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah to the Lamb of God. We would come on, somebody. Get this old country girl up shouting hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So there's wonderful praise taking place in heaven. It said, for true and righteous are his judgment, because he has judged the great harlot who corrupted the earth with a fornication. And he has avenged on her the blood of his servants that was shed by her. And so heaven is rejoicing. And I can hear him now. We got you. We got you. Okay? God got him. God put something to him. He wiped them out just like that. And I imagine old Michael, the archangel, he had been waiting for that one. Huh? And Gabriel, I can see Gabriel up there just shouting, having a good time. Okay? Because she's been going back and forth in this earth for a long time. That great messenger of God. He's been going back and forth telling men, thus said the Lord God. Amen? And I imagine the Holy Spirit up there having a good time too. Hello, somebody. He's down here with us, but he's also up there with them. Okay, I don't know how that works out, but it does. All right? So this celebration of worship is taking place before God and Lord Jesus, and they are loving it. You hear me? Countless numbers of angels, countless numbers of humans who have been saved by Jesus are now worshiping together as one. The angels are now brothers and sisters with those humans that they once had to go and rescue. Because those humans are now spirits. Hello, somebody. They are now in their true form before God. just like the angels. You didn't know that, did you? And they're having a celebration that literally causing hell to do what? Tremble. Wow. Get that in your minds. I want to show you something, and then we're going to do communion. We may get out a little early today, and that's okay with me. I want to show you something as we go down. Again, verse 3, celebration. Again, they said, hallelujah, her smoke rises up forever and ever. Then the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God who sat on the throne, saying, amen, hallelujah. Then a voice came from the throne saying, praise our God. Who do you think that is? Who's that voice? It said, and a voice came from the throne.
Jesus?
You betcha. Jesus is now leading praise. You don't have to get up and do it. Jesus is now leading praise in heaven. Woo! I would love to see that. He ain't riding a donkey. He's leading worship. He's saying, praise our God.
Amen.
Huh? Did you hear what he said? He said, praise our God. That's the Son of God saying that. But God got something in store for his Son. Turn with me, if you will. Turn with me, if you will, to Psalms 45. I want to show you a prophecy that's in the Psalms that has taken place nearly 1,000 years before Christ came to this earth as a human. No, 45. Are you ready?
No.
Okay. Psalms 45.
Okay.
My heart is overflowing with a good theme. I recite my composition concerning the King. Who's this King?
Jesus.
My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. You are fairer than the sons of men. Are you hearing what's happening here? You know that song that says he's fairer than 10,000? You probably know, I don't know the title of it, but it's really beautiful. And he's called Daystar in the song. But listen, so you're fair, other words, you're more beautiful than the sons of men. That's what this writer is saying to Jesus. You're more beautiful than any human. Grace is poured out upon your lips. Therefore, God has blessed you forever. Gird your sword upon your thigh, O mighty one. With your glory and your majesty, and in your majestic, or your majesty, ride prosperously because of truth, humility, and righteousness. And your right hand shall teach you awesome things. Your arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemy. The people fall under you. Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is a scepter of your kingdom. You see that written in Hebrews chapter 2. Where God is exalting Jesus. You love righteousness and hate wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. Again, you'll see that in Hebrews chapter 2 about the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a prophetic word about Jesus. Jesus is being exalted long before he ever came to the earth. Long before he came. And God made sure of that. And those religious leaders of his day thought that he was just a carpenter's son. A poor man that was worth nothing. Who was delusional, calling himself the Son of God. But little did they know that he actually was and is the Son of God. Wow. And this psalmist by the Holy Ghost was shown this beautiful description of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? And as we're closing out, listen to what else he says. All your garments are scented with myrrh and alloys and cassia, out of the ivory palaces by which they have made you glad. King's daughters among your honorable women, at your right hand stand the queen and gold from Ophir. Listen, let me tell you something. In Revelation 19, we're about to read something about you and me. That description that I just read to you in Psalms 45, you would think that Jesus had a girlfriend and that women were being prepared for him. You are the women. You are the queen. You are the bride of Christ. That just described the bride of Christ. Amen? Beautiful. And God, when God looks at us, he's preparing us by the Holy Spirit to be a people so beautiful and so ready for his son Jesus. Okay? Because God only gives his son his best. God himself has made us ready. Amen? Now, listen, O daughter, consider and incline your ear. Forget your own people also and your father's house. Is that not a calling out of the bride? He's telling them, come on out. So the king will greatly desire your beauty because he is your Lord. Worship him. And the daughter Tyre will come with a gift. The rich among the people will seek your favor. The royal daughter is all glories within the palace. Her clothing is woven with gold. She shall be brought to the king in robes of many colors. The virgins, her companions, who follow her, shall be brought to you. With gladness and rejoicing they shall be brought. They shall enter the king's palace. Instead of your fathers shall be your sons, whom you shall make princes in all the earth. I will make your name to be remembered in all generations. Therefore, the people shall praise you forever and ever. I'm just going to go down to verse 6 in Revelation 19, and we'll pick up from there next week, the Lord's willing. Verse 5 says, then a voice came from the throne saying, praise our God, all your servants and those who fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude as the sound of many waters, and as the sound of mighty thundering, saying, hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Omnipotent simply means that God is all-powerful. It's another way of saying the Almighty God. Are you hearing me? The rest of that chapter, it's going to get you. It is so awesome. Because it illustrates who God's Son is and what God is doing for Jesus. There's some powerful foes out there. There's some powerful men and women out there. And behind them, there are some powerful demons. Listen to me. But not a one of them can match Jesus, the Son of God. The most powerful demon himself, Satan, is no match for Jesus. Folks, the Lord Jesus Christ loves you. And he wants you to stand on truth, for his word is truth. Let's prepare for communion, please. As you're preparing your hearts for communion, I want to talk to you just a bit more. Can you grab my Bible from up there, please? Lord Jesus, thank you. Has chosen you for this day to place his name in you. And he placed a seal upon your life. When Father looks from heaven, he doesn't see a sinner anymore. He sees sons and daughters who are righteous. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, he washed away all of our sin. And folks, I'm not talking about the sin that you did yesterday. I'm talking about the sin in your entire lifespan. So that when you and I stand before God, there's no record of us ever sinning against God. However, given that, the Lord Jesus Christ still wants you to present yourself holy. He still wants you and I to live a righteous and wholesome life before him. And so if we've done some things that we know that's not pleasing to him and Father, we're still to repent of those things, even though he has saved us and love us with an everlasting love. He still wants you and I to repent. And he says through the Apostle Paul that you and I are not to partake in this supper if there's still unrepented sin lingering in our lives. We need to confess those and ask him to forgive us and to cleanse us from this unrighteousness, because God is holy. And the Spirit of God is holy. And he loves you because Christ loves you. The Holy Spirit truly loves every one of us. In fact, he's the one who brought God's love into our heart. You read about that in Romans 5:5. And so this day, this moment, after hearing about Babylon, what God would do for that unclean city, that unclean government, that unclean religion, unclean people, God is going to destroy them in a moment of time. Just like that, gone, wiped out. But not you. You have found grace in God's sight through the Lord Jesus Christ. Every head bow, please. It is your moment now to tell Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, I know you died for me. And by your own blood, you washed away my sins. So on that day when I stand before God, he will see no sin in my life because you have removed it. But while I'm yet here, there are still some spots, some blemishes, and some wrinkles in my life that you don't want there. And I confess those blemishes, those wrinkles, those spots to you right now. And I surrender them into your hands. And that's what the Bible calls repentance. And I know that you've already forgiven me because you written my name in your book of life. And so, dear Lord Jesus, I want to honor you now with a clean heart. By taking this communion, I honor you. And I honor Father who sent you, because that is my heart's desire. Will you say that prayer now to the Lord Jesus Christ? Will you allow him to move with compassion upon you now? Let me read this, the passage real quick. Let me pray with you, please. Father, we thank you so much for the blood of Jesus. We acknowledge our sins and we confess those to you, Lord. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, that by your own blood, you have washed our sins away. Lord, on the night in which you betrayed, you were betrayed by Judas. You took bread and you gave thanks to Father. The same manner in which we are going to do in a moment. And likewise, you took the cup. The covenant of the New Testament. He said, this is my blood. Drink it for the remission of sin. Lord, we thank you that through your shed blood, every one of us, you have written our names in your book of life. And we thank God for you. So if we partake in your supper and your body and your blood, Lord, we do remember your death, burial, and resurrection until you come again. Thank you for honoring us to honor you. It's in your precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. Go ahead. Can you hold the elements, please, until everybody has received the bread and the wine? take. This is the body of my Lord, Savior Jesus Christ. This is the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now the senior deacon served me. This is the Apostle Paul talking to the Corinthian church about communion. He said, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. Father, we thank you for this bread in Jesus' name. To take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup. The cup of the supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's pray first. Lord, we thank you for the blood of Jesus. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Please drink. "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." God is so good, isn't he?
All the time.
And look, we even get out 32 minutes early today.
That's good.
I think I got a little bit left in me. Nah, we're getting ready to close out in prayer. Did you all notice how the Holy Spirit quieted the children so this message would not be disturbed? Because he wanted you all to hear this message.
Thank you, Lord.
Babies, Jesus loves you. Every head bowed now. Oh, she had to go play that. Whew. He's so worthy, isn't he? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You're so powerful. Hallelujah. Glory to God in the highest. You're so worthy. Bless your holy name, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Somebody tell him thank you. Thank you, Lord. You're so worthy. Tell him he's worthy. Yes, Lord. You're so worthy. Father, we thank you that you have come in and visit with us. You and Lord Jesus. Thank you for a powerful word by the Holy Spirit this morning. A word that you have planted and written up on the table of our hearts so that we might not sin against you, Lord God. Our life is hidden with you, Christ, in God. And we thank you for that. Now, Lord, though we may leave this place, but never from your presence, be with us, Father, until we meet again. In Christ's name we pray. And the people of God says, amen. Amen. Go in peace. Wow.
Working.
Yeah,
but my arm.
Hey, I had to get up out of the bed last night because Miss Nelson had the fan blowing and it was messing with my sinus and my throat. And that's why y'all heard me go, I couldn't get my.
Thank you, sir. See you, Jesus.
They are giving me the runaround. I have talked with a couple of lieutenants. Every time I call and talk with them, they always pass me to somebody else. And then they pass me to someone else. I made several calls, and they keep passing. Oh, we don't know. Let me find so-and-so. And they even promised to call me back, and they have yet to call me back. So I'm going to get in the truck and drive over and talk with the sheriff.
Okay. I think Wednesday we're going to get her out on house arrest.
Okay.
I called the lawyer up last week. I said, instead of me having to put money up for bond and everything, he says, I'll have more control over her if you just put her on house arrest at my house. That's the way, she's doing good with her medications and everything.
Well,
I haven't talked to her, but she has a friend call me every day.
Mm-hmm.
She's in the back, and then I talk to the nurses. But, yeah, I don't know why they...
And I kept trying to say, Shirley, they just keep passing me to somebody else. And they keep telling me they're going to call me back, and they haven't called me back yet.
Who was the last one you talked to?
A sergeant. But I talked to a couple of lieutenants, and one appeared to be, like, Hispanic. One of the lieutenants?
Yeah. Probably the one I talked to. I can't think. I got the name.
I thought the Senate and Congress made laws.
The Congress, the legislator is supposed to make law, which makes up the Senate and Congress.
Well, how come?
I mean,
the court made this new law.
I don't know what has happened with our country. It's strayed away from the process of the Constitution.
But. And now, what happens to you if you refuse to marry a gay person?
I don't know, but I'm not going to do it.
Will you be charged with something?
Well, right now there's no criminal law against it. Okay. Right now it's only a civil law that they'll probably sue.
Say, I don't want to do it.
I'm not going to do it.
I know.
There's a Lieutenant Horn.
Okay.
God bless you. I got to go home to see my sick husband. We're up all night, you know. Every 2 hours we got to get up to give the horse medication.
See, the problem with Sammy is because of her behavior, they took all her privileges away. No visitors, no nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think they charged her with anything after that last little episode. They put her in front of disciplinary board, and they just said, you can't talk to anybody, no visitors, no canteen, no nothing.
Right.
So maybe that's part of it. I know she was, they were having a church thing there. She'd go to church, but I don't know if they're still letting her do that or not. I don't think they are.
But even with that, they could have been straightforward with me instead of just passing her butt.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And bouncing me and bouncing me and bouncing me. That's the part I didn't like. To me, that's unprofessional.
Yeah, well, you're right. Yeah. And then not calling you back.
And not calling me back.
Somebody can answer that question.
You bet you.
And if the lieutenant, see, then there's a colonel there, too, who's right underneath. I got his name written down, too.
Yeah, but a lieutenant should be able to make a call.
Right, yeah.
I mean, if you don't know a simple
protocol.
You betcha. He's incompetent.
Because they know what she has. She's on 30 days restriction now, whether that's from pastors. I know the lawyer goes to see her.
Because they didn't want to enforce it. Lieutenants are the ones who enforce what's going on the ship.
Yeah.
So.
They're not doing it. They can't. Well, thank you for trying.
Yeah.
And like I say, I'll know more on Wednesday. Maybe if she comes home, I was going to ask him, like, if she can come here with us. I don't know the limitations on that.
Mm-hmm.
But if she can't, maybe you come over there and talk with her.
Either way, we're going to talk to her, brother. I promise you that.
Sit down. Come on. Go sit down.
All right.
Excuse me. I didn't get a chance to holler at Christian.
Holler at him. Lazy kid. Tired.
It's good seeing you.
You too.
He's coming Thursday. We have to drag him.
Oh, we look forward to it. Those kids really miss you when you're not here.
See that?
Each one of them kept saying to me, because I brought him outside and gave him a lesson on peer pressure.
Yeah.
Out here, I said, this is the real world. This is where it happens at. They go, where's Christian? Where's Christian?
Yeah.
They go,
is that Christian? What do you think of yourself?
I said, I don't know. I said,
next week?
You were being, well, actually what happened was I went to the gym. think he kind of forgot. And when I remembered, he was all sweaty and tired. I'm like,
it was like 5:30.
I know. I totally forgot. You have to remember. So anyway, we'll be coming Thursday. And God willing, we'll be coming Thursday. You're too young to be that tired. I'm tired, right? Man, I could hardly move my arms today from the slice that launched me. hours and hours.
Woo!
Pastor said that was good math today.
To God be the glory.
It was good today. Thank you.
Bye. Bye-bye. Uh-oh. Sorry about that.
Oh, my God.
Hey, boys, no. Mickey, no.
What morning was that?
I was ready for church. Tell her I wasn't back.
Oh, yeah.
She told him he could come. Yeah, she yelled at me. She said, what is going on down here? She said, I told him he could come. They're talking about killing his wife.
Well, they have a recording showing that him and his mama was getting into it. They thought it was somebody at our house. And the cops were looking at me like, I don't believe you. Where's your wife at? We need to see her to make sure she's okay. And go, okay.
I'm late. It is my fault. No. When I'm not going to be late, and now I'm late because
it's amazing how they jumped the gun.
And I'm recording this conversation.
She got hurt.
For the iPod. Michael edited it.